This morning I will be reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, and Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 10. You can follow along in your bulletin or in the overhead. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted.
Thank you. So were to goodness in our list of inner characteristics that the Holy Spirit wants to come and develop inside of us. Remember, it's fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. Instead of needing to pick one or two, God, through his Holy Spirit, wants to give you all nine of these inner characteristics. Goodness. Now, how would we define goodness in life? I think it's best understood in the word integrity. Living our life in a good way, in a good direction, in a good manner. And I think integrity wraps all of that together. Now, integrity can be understood as living one's life in a very consistent way. We need to be consistent. We need to be sincere without any prejudice, without any deception, without any pretense in our life. When we're putting this best foot forward, we're our best. We're positioned to be in our best with other people. We're in the place where God wants to bless us and move us forward. So living with integrity, you know, it's interesting that a lot of sociologists have been writing about the lack of integrity within the Christian community. Many sociologists have pointed out that there's a widening gap in the Christian church between what we say and what we do and the biblical values that we hold. That gap perhaps in society was a lot closer, therefore a lot closer within the church. Now that gap has become almost gigantic in society, and it's gotten wider than it should be in the church. We're not walking the talk. And what sociologists have put their finger on is that we're very incongruent in the way that we're living our lives. We believe one thing, we hold a certain value in our mind, heart, and soul, but that's not making its way out in what we say and what we do. Since you're all here, I'll give you a really good example. The Seahawks play at 10 o'clock. Thank you for coming at 9. As a preacher, I'm always surprised at what people will miss church for. Is worshiping God on a Sunday morning the most important thing that a person can do? Well, as Christians, we say it is. From time to time, we act that way, but not when the Seahawks are playing at 10 o'clock. A widening gap, an incongruity. And the incongruity between what we hold as a biblical value and our lifestyle is wearing us out. It is making us frustrated instead of peaceful in life. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed a greater frustration in your life because you're not really following what the Bible has to say? Oh, you believe it in certain moments and in certain seasons, Christmas is coming. But the resource, the power, the blessing. Well, an incongruent life is not going to receive that, is not going to know that, is not going to live that day to day. And I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm far from perfect. What I'm talking about is engaging in the idea that we need to be the same on the outside as we are on the inside. That if we really believe what the Bible has to say, and by the way, I was going back and forth with a student. It was great. They were texting one of their parents, and then the parent would text me and ask me questions, and then I'd text them back the answer to, right? Finally, they said, look, when they're home at Thanksgiving, will you talk to them? I said, yes, I'd be happy to do that. Someone struggling with what it means, what the values are in the Bible, and how to live those out in their life on a day-to-day basis. And as I pointed out already, that incongruity is very frustrating to us. I don't know. Let's look at Romans. This is me. I don't know if this describes you. I don't really understand myself. Now, have you not stood in front of the mirror sometime in the last couple of months and I don't really understand myself. And honestly, if you can't look at yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself, when are you ever going to be honest about what's really going on in your life? I don't really understand myself for what I want to do. I want to do what is right, but I don't do that. Instead, I do what I hate. Now, that's a strong word. Maybe you just don't like it. But you know, it doesn't match up with the values that you hold as a Christian. And we're pretty good at avoiding those opportunities that hurt a lot. Oh, but if it's just a mild pain with some kind of benefit, well, we're all culpable when it comes to that. Instead, I do what I hate. It is sin living in me, and yes, sin lives within us. We're at war with ourselves, aren't we? And you don't have to go very far out the door, and you'll realize that you're in a battle every single day, aren't you? Aren't we? We often think that, oh, well, once we get to retirement and we move to Squim, we'll be out of the battle. Oh, no. We're not out of the battle interiorly and externally as we move out in society. It shouldn't surprise us anymore that we find ourselves at least in some kind of a emotional pushing match, if not an all-out battle or war. There are great benefits to being the same on the inside and on the outside. There's a great benefit in walking the talk, as we say. There are great benefits of allowing who we really are in Christ to get, to inform, to infuse, to empower us as we move forward in life. Here's a couple of benefits I think you'll agree. Number one is that if you are walking the talk, you walk around with a pretty clear conscience. And that doesn't mean you get to skip the forgiveness, confession and forgiveness part when I pray on Sunday morning. But you know, your list is not very long. Yeah, you got a few things, but you know what? You won more last week than you lost, so to speak. You lived it more than you didn't live it. And because of that, you can walk around in life with a clear conscience. You can feel very good about yourself. Here's the proverb. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. So self-examination, that's what good conscience is all about. Are you light in that way, or is life very heavy for you in that way? That as people examine or want to look at your life, you're really a little worried, you're a little panicked. And being a trained counselor, I know how this works. Everybody's got a closet downstairs cluttered up with a bunch of things that are bad, and we're trying to hide from everybody else. Now, I'm not saying you ought to walk around with all of your sinfulness, you know, on your sleeve. But I know people pretty well. I know myself pretty well. Everybody's hiding a few things. Everybody has a few unresolved things. And we'll know we're very serious about our faith when we dare to go and open the door of that closet. And one of the great things about not hiding anything from other people is it's very freeing. It's very freeing. We're all sinners. We're all broken. We're all trying to make our way in this world. And when we can be honest about our wins and honest about our losses, well, that's a lot of congruity, as the sociologist would say. We're being real. We're not perfect. But we're aspiring to be the men and women of God that He created us to be. And let me tell you how free you get. Have you ever noticed that when you're really free, your conscience is light and not packed with a lot of things? You're not trying to hide a lot of things. Did you notice you don't have to stockpile a bunch of excuses? You don't have to dream up a bunch of rationalizations on why my life isn't perfect. Why things aren't all green lights or tens in my life. No, I got a couple of twos or threes. Oh, I enjoy the eight, nines, and tens, but I got some twos and threes. There are some reasons for that, but I don't need to make excuses for that, do I? I don't need to stockpile a bunch of rationalizations. Why? Because my conscience is clear. It's clean. And if you come and confess your sin and understand the forgiveness that God extends to you, and you still don't have a clean conscience, well, you ought to go see a counselor or a therapist or at least a life coach. Because that forgiveness is given to us to free us up so that we can move forward in the very best way. See, when our conscience is clear, have you noticed that gives you a very good sense of confidence and inner strength. I know I'm not perfect. I know that the potential to fail and falter and sin is around me all day long, but I'm going to focus on the good and the godly. And as I make my way, I feel stronger to do that. I have a greater confidence that as I make my way in life, I'm going to succeed. I'm going to have a hope and a future. But when your conscience, when it's full of the faults and the failures and the sin, that slows us down. That holds us back. Instead of feeling hopeful, we're discouraged, we're worried, we're stressed, we're depressed. So a great benefit of having integrity is that you can walk around with a clear conscience. You walk around a little bit lighter, a little more confident, a little more empowered in your life. Why? Because you're squared up with God. You're lined up spiritually, which lines up what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and what we say and do. That creates a great consistency, congruity in our life. Number two, if you're a person of integrity, it tells others that you can be counted on. Who can you trust? That becomes an important thing in life. In fact, who can you trust with, the truth about yourself, about your life? Everybody needs somebody that they need to trust. Some of us, because of the heaviness of what we're living with, we have to buy some trust in someone. We rent somebody by the hour. And we rent that person because we know we can tell them everything and anything, and it's not going to be gossiped to other people. It's not going to be shared with other people. And if you have that brokenness, that sin in your life, I'd encourage you to rent somebody. I got some good names for you. But in general, we're looking around for a person of integrity that we can trust and we can count on. That's our person. Now, here's the story. Let me say one more thing before I go to Russ Porter, my great story. Integrity and what we say and do is very important to us, and it's important to the people that we interact with, but it's most important as a parent to your children. It's most important to your children because you're the parent. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. Ooh. Can they only follow what you say and not what you do? Or are you consistent enough in what you say and what you do that you're a good model for your children? And don't think some failure and sin is a bad model for your children. Boy, when you confess that and you receive forgiveness and that's modeled to your children, you are equipping them for real life in this world, as well as instilling a hope for the future and eternity to them. So here's Russ Porter. Russ Porter was a career law enforcement person. His two daughters were up at Mount Hermon Christian Camp where I used to work. It was a great summer's day. He went to go pick up his two girls. They decided they were going to go down to the Santa Cruz boardwalk, and so they cut through a corner of this little town. And as they were making their way, Russ got pulled over for speeding. Now, everybody that worked at the camp knew that it went from 40 down to 25 very quickly. And usually, there was someone there to greet you and say, hey, by the way, you know you were speeding. So here's Russ Porter. He's a captain in the police department not too far away from Santa Cruz. He's got his two girls in the back seat. They just came back from a wonderful week at Christian camp. So the police officer comes up to his door. Now, if you were a cop, what would you do? I've actually asked, I'm allowed to do that as a pastor. Well, what do you do in that circumstance? And they have a little way of communicating to one another. I won't blow your secret. And in this instance, Russ did not reveal to this policeman that he was a policeman, captain no less. He did like everybody else has to do. He got out his license and got out his proof of registration. He handed them to the officer. He went back to his car, wrote him a ticket. He signed the ticket, thanked the officer for his vigilance, and off they went. Now, when I heard Russ tell this story, I'm thinking to myself, dude, you could have gotten off. I mean, that's what you guys do for one another. Within reason. Within reason. And here's what he said. I was speeding and I had two girls that were going to get their driver's license in the next couple of years. And I had a choice to make. Do I want them to think that they're always going to get off because their dad is a captain of a police department? Or am I going to model for them, yes, I broke the law and now I have to pay the ticket? Did I want to teach them to always get away with things? Or did I want to teach them to deal with their mistakes, their speeding in life? Russ paid the ticket. Great investment in the two girls in the back seat. Even my dad, he's a captain of the police department, he's paying his own tickets. It's true, there aren't very many free lunches in this world. We skate a little bit from time to time, but you know, most of the time we just have to face it, embrace it. And the people who are facing it and the people who are embracing it are the people that can be trusted. They are very consistent. They're not confusing to be around. You don't have to figure out who they are. They're the same person on the inside as they are on the outside. That's a person with a clear conscience. That's a person who understands how to be trustworthy, a confidant to someone else. The third is a big one. It's a spiritual blessing. There's a great spiritual blessing to having integrity. Here's our scripture passage. I condense verses 4 and 8 for you just to give you a really good list. What happens as we live out our biblical values? We're a light that shines for the godly. Good comes to us. Such people will be not overcome with evil. They are long remembered. The Lord cares for them. They are confident and they are fearless as they move forward in life. They can face their foes triumphantly. Those that live their life with integrity feel a closeness to God and the blessing of God. And if we don't feel close to God and we don't feel blessed by God, guess who moved? Not God. And I get it. The more we falter and fail in sin, especially when it's in our weak area, therefore we often have to repeat our confession. And yes, you'll continue to confess that sin. And once you get on the other side of it, you'll be good. If we don't learn our lessons, so to speak, the first time around, the first lap, we'll do that lap over and over and over and over again. And it'll continue to erode away who we are on the inside. It'll continue to create strife and friction in our relationships with other people. And I, like you, it's very hard to come face to face with God when I've failed, when I've sinned, when I've chosen poorly. But not coming back in and confessing and receiving forgiveness, that's a hard thing. Why? Because now I don't feel close to God, because now I'm far away. I've moved. And God in His great invitation invites us back into a close relationship, a blessed relationship with Him. And who doesn't want to be this person from Psalm 112? I think everybody wants to be that person. Everybody wants to experience that closeness and that blessing of God. And if we want to be that person, then we have to be intentional about being congruent in what we say and do and the biblical values that we hold. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to those with integrity. A stronghold, isn't that what you need? Here's the deal. There are strongholds in this world that are evil, that reside within us. And many times our choices are we going to allow evil to have a stronghold in our life, or are we going to allow God to have a stronghold in our life? That is our choice. That is our choice. The more we say and do things that line up with our biblical values, we are strengthening ourselves spiritually on the inside. We're empowering good thinking and good emotions that will then display good things to say and good things in our actions. Yes, when we have a clear conscience, when we're striving to be a trustworthy person, not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of others, we feel a closeness and we experience a power of God that we don't experience any other way. But obedience. Remember, obedience, not perfection. We all want the blessings of God in our life. Here's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, the Bible is useful to teach us what is true, what is wrong. It corrects us, and it teaches what is right. God uses it to prepare His people to do every good work. Anybody here want to miss out on a good work? No. We don't want to miss out on it. In fact, we want to be the person that's doing a good work, and that's why we have to know a lot about the Bible. Folks, this is why some people don't read the Bible. I love the quote of the man that said, "You know, I don't like reading the Bible. It's always talking about me." And you know it is talking about us. And it talks to us, have you noticed, in a very hopeful way. Integrity and hope are a very close pair. And so we need to read the Bible and study the Bible and meditate on the Bible and memorize the Bible and apply the Bible. That's why we want you in a Bible study. We want you to be in a place where you can know as much as you can about the Bible. And the key isn't just that you know it, it's that you're applying what you know. Because God sees you as a person that can and will do good works, good things. I believe the world really wants to embrace the attitude and the actions of the Christian faith. When we're on our game, we're awesome. You're awesome. When we're on our game, we're awesome together. When everybody's on the same page, when everybody's looking at what's right and what's wrong and how to correct things, a great power of the Holy Spirit is released within us. Impatient people become patient. I'm still working on it. Goodness. Goodness is first and foremost about an understanding of our biblical values, which obviously have to be informed by the Bible. And when we allow that truth to rest within our soul, to become a part of who we are, then we move forward, and what we say and what we do reflects that. Again, not perfectly. But more times than not only when life is easy, but when life is very difficult and messy. And nothing cleans up the mess in our life and in our world better than Jesus. His forgiveness, His salvation. Why? It releases our conscience. It releases us from our own fear and feelings of inadequacy. We are equipped for every good thing. And so we're generally good and we're moving in a good direction. And we're reminded of that every day because we feel that sense of closeness and blessing of God. He wants us to do good. He wants to equip us for good. And He does that primarily through His scriptures. And then secondarily through the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of other people. It's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to be joyful. Keep going down the list. Patient, kind, good. We have a great potential of impact. Impact in a world that's at least a little upset, if not a little crazy. A world that's very conflicted. A world that is starting to feel a little hopeless. Especially as we look on the world scene. It all starts with a single person, Jesus. And then individual people engaging in a relationship with Jesus and seeking to live to the best of their ability, their Christian values and what they say and what they do. Let's pray together. Father, you know our weakness when it comes to integrity. And we do weekly need to come and confess our shortcomings and sins to you. And allow us in those moments, Jesus, to feel the strength of your forgiveness. That you clear away our cluttered conscience and emotions. That you do make us consistent instead of confusing, both in our own mind and in the relationships with others. And Father, I'm thankful that you just haven't left us to figure this all out on our own. That you do give us your word that guides us very, very well in a very practical way, day in and day out. And you've given us the great advocate of the Holy Spirit so that we can not only hear and think, but we might feel what it is to be the men and women of God that you created us to be. Thank you for that, Lord. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.